Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is taken from John chapter 8, verses 12 to 20. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I come from and where I am going, but you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your father?" "You do not know me or my father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his time had not yet come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning to you, and I hope you've had a really good week, and it's lovely to be with you again and have this opportunity to preach. And this morning it's all about Jesus when he says, "I am the light of the world." Have you ever been in a situation where you've completely failed to recognise someone? I once heard a really funny story of a friend who relocated to the northeast of England. And one evening, as she went to collect a takeaway from her local Chinese, she got into a conversation with another customer, a very nice young man indeed. Now, he collected his order and said goodbye. And as he left the takeaway, the owner said to my friend, "Do you not know who you've just been talking to? Do you not recognise him?" And my friend said, "No, I've no idea who I've just been talking to." Well, it only turns out that she was casually chatting to Deck from Ant and Deck, no less. She'd been blissfully unaware. How could she have failed to recognise him? She obviously doesn't watch Britain's Got Talent. Just think of the wasted opportunity to take a selfie with him or to ask for his autograph. I do wonder, though, had she recognised him, how differently would she have behaved? And what questions would she have asked him? There's a similar theme of failure to recognise in today's reading from John's Gospel. John sets the scene by telling us that Jesus has returned to Jerusalem to attend the annual festival known as the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this significant celebration aimed to remind Israel of their miraculous escape from slavery to the Promised Land. God had guided them through the wilderness by means of his presence in the form of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And in this very act of God, this is what's celebrated at the feast, and by the lighting of four huge golden lamps within the temple court. So intense was the light produced from the lamps that it was said every courtyard in the city of Jerusalem was illuminated by them. And it's within this very scene of feasting and dancing and celebration that Jesus utters these extraordinary words. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus' statement hits right to the heart. He's saying, "I am God divine, God divine's presence here on earth. I am the one who can release you from the darkness and bondage of your sin." Imagine standing in the crowd. Do you hear what he's proclaiming? Jesus connects right into the spiritual identity of those around him. Any Jewish bystander in this scene would understand the significance of the words. I am. It's recounted in the book of Exodus, their story of salvation. These are the very words given to Moses as he encounters God in the burning bush. When Moses asks God, "What name do I give you?" God replies, "I am who I am." In other words, the eternal, constant God, complete, ever-present, unchangeable, sufficient. Jesus' provocative statement doesn't really go down too well in the moment. John records the interaction between Jesus and the Pharisees, and immediately they're on to him. "This isn't valid," they say. "You cannot testify on your own behalf," as the law stated at the time. Now, to be fair, the Pharisees, they're just not getting it. In the heat of the moment, with hackles raised, they fail to make the connection. They cannot see that the Son of God is stood right before their very eyes. The blasphemy radar is extra sensitive and twitching away. "Who is this radical peasant from Galilee?" is all they can think. "This troublemaker, crowd stirrer, out to ignite some kind of rebellion or uprising." The Pharisees continue with their interrogation. "Where is your father?" You can almost picture them scanning the crowd around Jesus, just as eager to cross-examine this so-called father figure of a man who even allows his own son to say such dangerous words in this setting. Of course, no one steps forward, but what we do witness is the close intimacy between God the Father and God the Son, a relationship that's existed since before creation came into being. John tells us about this at the beginning of his gospel. In chapter 1, he says, "He was in the beginning with God," he being Jesus. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The Pharisees, they're too wrapped up in keeping strict adherence to the law, the temple, the rituals, to recognise that Jesus is the one who comes to fulfil all these things as the very presence of God among them. The law only highlights our sin and shortcomings. Keeping the law cannot free us or cleanse us of our sins. Only Jesus can save us from the darkness in our lives. Reading this story reminded me of the image of a well-known painting by the Pre-Raphaelite artist William Holman Hunt, and it's entitled The Light of the World. Originally produced in the mid-19th century, Holman Hunt went on to create two further versions. This painting was so popular, it was even taken on its own world tour, and records estimate that over 2 million people viewed the painting as it toured the world. I guess you would say it went viral. And the image is so powerful. It portrays Christ standing and knocking at the door of each of our lives. The background in the painting depicts the darkness of the world we live in, and the darkness of our lives without Christ. The overgrown plants around the door symbolise the distractions that prevent us from turning to Christ. The decaying undergrowth shows that life without Christ leads to death. Something particularly significant about the door is that it doesn't have a handle. Holman Hunt deliberately missed off the handle to symbolise that we need to open the door of our lives to allow Christ in. Until that moment, Jesus waits patiently and lovingly for our response. I hope by hearing this story afresh, you've had your eyes opened to who Jesus is. Many say that Jesus is a good man, perhaps a prophet too. But I hope you can see that he was and is the Son of God, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the only one who died for us, and by doing this, defeated the power of sin and darkness in the world and in our lives. The good news is, he didn't stay dead. Jesus rose again in glory and victory, and the same power that resurrected him can also live in us. This is the light of life that Jesus talks about. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. This is what he says and what he promises. Just as the Israelites experienced the presence of God as a pillar of fire by night, we can experience more, the very fire and presence of God right in our very being. This light of life will never fade. The light of life is a flame that never extinguishes. It's for all eternity. If you have the light of life in you, never will you have to walk through the dark times alone. Even death itself cannot separate you from God. The light keeps shining and brings you through. Finally, the light of life is for everyone. Remember at the beginning of the story how I told you about the golden lamps, how the light that was emitted from them illuminated every courtyard in Jerusalem. Jesus offers the light of life to anyone who asks. The light of life is for every courtyard of every heart in every nation. Jesus truly is the light of the world. Why don't you step into the light? Amen.